Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
A second scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven!' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've been listening to the most interesting podcast lately. It's called The Rest is History. And recently, the two hosts, both English historians with really great British accents, have been engaged in a six-part series focused on the sinking of the Titanic. It's amazing how interested I've been, considering how I already know how this story is going to end. I know that the ship is going to sink. Still, I held my breath as the two historians talked about the way the iceberg sounded as it scraped against the great ship's side. I felt the passengers panic as water spewed into the cabins and stairwells, knowing what was going to happen to those 1,500 people who drowned. As the great ship approached the iceberg, I was cheering for the captain to steer around it. Likewise, here we are on Palm Sunday, and tragedy looms on the horizon. Today's service may feel like a celebration. Today's hymns have elements of joy and triumph. Hosanna loud, Hosanna, the little children sang. But knowing the whole story, those hymns sound to me a little like the music that the band played on the deck to keep the Titanic's passengers from panicking. Today we wave our palm branches. Today we celebrate, remembering how he rode into the city. Only we already know that the cheering of the crowd will soon enough change tune. Soon enough he will be betrayed by Judas, arrested by soldiers. He will be led to a cold cell in chains. Peter will deny him. Pilate will lead a sham trial. Then the crown of thorns will be pushed into his brow. His back will be whipped. Nails will pierce his wrist. Upon the cross, soon enough, he will die. We read this morning from Mark's gospel that it was already late as he rode into Jerusalem. It was too late. Too late to turn around, too late to chart another course. The iceberg lies ahead and Jesus rides straight towards it. As the prophet said in our first scripture lesson, he was not rebellious, He did not turn backward. Instead, he gave his back to those who pulled out his beard. Rather than hide his face from insult and spitting, he set his face like flint, determined to face what lies ahead. Friends, consider with me this Palm Sunday the character of our Savior Jesus, knowing that any mortal ship captain would have tried to avoid it all. In fact, on the night the ship sank, the Titanic had two lookouts in the crow's nest, Frederick Fleet and Reginald Lee. Their job was to help the ship's captain avoid disaster, which is exactly what I like to do, avoid disaster. And I think about how I might have avoided it even after my ship has sunk. So I think about divorce. And how, when I hear that a couple is getting a divorce, I speculate on who did what. I want there to be something that someone did to cause it. I am looking for the iceberg that they should have steered around. I think the same way about terminal illness. When my grandmother suffered a stroke, I remember how my father walked through the weeks prior, analyzing each moment for clues and thinking of ways he might have stopped it from happening. How would I have missed the iceberg, he asked himself. Whose fault was it, he wanted to know. Was it mine? This is a human reaction to tragedy. We double up our lookouts in the crow's nest. We are always looking to the horizon for bad things that might happen so that we can steer around them. That's what keeps me up at night. How might I avoid disaster? Where are the icebergs and how can I steer around them? And yet Jesus rides into the city. Jesus faces the cross head on. Why doesn't he try to avoid it? Why doesn't he steer around Jerusalem if he knows what's ahead? It's because his death is no mistake. His death is not a disaster. The cross which he faces willingly will bring us salvation. What that means for us is that he redefines all our tragedies and mistakes by his death on that cross. He saves us from those bad decisions, even the ones that we are afraid are going to stick to us forever. Back to the Titanic. Bruce Ismay, I learned from a history podcast, was the chairman of the White Star Line who owned the Titanic. He didn't die with the ship. Instead, he gained a place on a lifeboat and lived to become one of the most hated men in America and Europe. You can imagine why. People needed someone to blame, and so they blamed him. They blamed him for not building the ship strong enough to withstand that iceberg. They blamed him for claiming that the ship was unsinkable, when it obviously did. These accusations stuck to him. They never left his mind. And even in death, his tombstone bears this inscription: "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth." That's a verse from the King James Version in the book of James. In those words, you hear the guilt that he bore on his body. How might I have steered around the iceberg he died asking himself? You can just hear in that inscription the guilt that he carried with him all the rest of his days. You know that even in death, he regretted that one bad decision. The worst day of his life seems to have defined him forever. This is my fear as well. Maybe it's yours. I hold on to some of the most embarrassing moments of my life. The pop fly that came to me when I was playing right field that I dropped. In ninth grade, I got in a fist fight and lost. And I still think all the time about how I might have won. Likewise, I don't know how many sermons I've preached, but the ones I remember best are the ones that went the worst. And so I imagine that my tombstone will bear the inscription, "Dropped that fly ball, never won a fist fight," and it's a good thing his sermons were short because they sure weren't any good. But listen to me now. That won't be the case. My friends, we will not be defined by our tragedies. We will not spend all eternity living down our mistakes. Whatever we did on our worst days will not be chiseled into our tombstones. Instead, the inscription will be the mark of the cross. For his redeeming death washes over us until all our sins are forgiven. The death he died redefines us and who we are forever. The suffering he endured, the sacrifice he made, the tragedy that his road leads to provides us a grace greater than all our sin. My friends, it was already late when he rode into Jerusalem. It was already done. He had set his face like flint, for he rode on to save us all, that we be defined not by our worst days, but by his redeeming. So don't you go around carrying those heavy burdens of regret any longer. Lay them down before the Savior who bore for us the cross. Don't you go through life full of regret. He died that you and I might live. I worry about us. I worry about us, for so often we remember what has already been washed away. We are still carrying those debts that he has already paid. Why worry about the icebergs that we hit when his death changes everything? It was already late. It was already done. Alleluia. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.